Tuesday starts early voting.
Yeah, for you, right? In Texas?
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow starts early voting in Texas.
Yeah, well, Ohio started like last week.
But I mean, nobody really pays attention to Ohio. I mean, we're bigger here in Texas, so
Texas may be bigger, but let's be real. Ohio, where Ohio goes, that's where the election goes.
Really?
So they say. I mean,
so they say, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. No. Regardless, I mean, it's an important election. Everybody needs to get out and vote. But I will be out there early voting because I don't want to be that person. Something tells me those are going to wait until November 2nd, November 3rd. It's going to be a long day.
They're already long lines. There were long lines on the first day in Ohio. So you know November 3rd is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, let me just make sure I do this. And I know I'll be traveling the election week.
Yeah.
So I'll be in Dallas when I find out who 46 is. So
pack a lunch. You go to vote, whether it's early or November 3rd, pack a lunch. Pack a lunch, take some water, make sure you're hydrated. Don't pass out in the line because they will walk right by you, especially if you're voting for their party.
No, I'm in Texas. I'm going to pack some breakfast tacos, get there early in the morning, do that right like a true Texan should do it.
Hey, what's up? I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and just overheard people having just crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having those conversations since college.
Yes, sir. This is the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Episode 5.
Yep. Good to be alive. And in the life of Terrell, what's been going on this week?
You know, it's been a little busy. Last time we checked in, I just started a new job. Mm-hmm. So now the jobs are going well. It's keeping me busy, loving it. Starting to get a little more activity in my dating life.
Oh,
you know, trying to date in a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't like to date if I don't have a job because I figure you just shouldn't do that. But, you know, some people would argue and disagree, but I try to, like, let me get employed first, make sure.
What do you do?
I look for work.
Well, I have this podcast.
I got this podcast I'm doing. You know, it's a little something, something. And, you know, then because money's tight, you're like, hey, so you had the salad with the bacon and the ranch, right? But no, man, just trying to maneuver dating through the pandemic. And yeah, so things are going good. Keeping a positive outlook on it. Had some good dates. Haven't had any bad dates.
That's good.
I haven't had any bad dates, but I will give a little advice to the women. Stop with the damn filters and the weird, crazy camera angles. Give a man a choice. If you're big, be big. If you're small, be small. If you're short, if you're tall, whatever it is, I'm going to find out at some point. And I feel like maybe there are women out there like, I know I'm not really being honest with how I look, but girl, when he sees me in this dress, he just won't know. No, it's not going to work.
Hi, Terrell. Who the hell are you?
just be yourself. That's all you got to do is just be yourself. Guys, too, stop lying about your age. Stop posting pictures from 2012 back when you were in shape. You know, just be you. That's the trouble of dating in the pandemic. Look, is man, lies.
Before online dating, it's an age-old tradition for men to lie when it comes to talking about themselves.
Well, it's called peacocking, right?
See, you know the name. I didn't know. I was just making that shit up.
Yeah, it's called peacocking. That's how a male peacock tries to find a female mate. It's him sticking his chest out and his feathers really wide. It's kind of peacocking. So you're trying to show off, which is why guys buy all this material crap to attract women. I've never like hung out with a dude and be like, I'm hanging out with Yanni. Why? He has a cool car and a nice house.
No, you know, that car's bait. Gotcha.
We got a lot of friends could be in their 40s. They just have a mattress and a couch. We're like, you know, this place is nice.
Exactly.
You got a cable, you got a mattress, a couch, and a microwave. What more do you need
if you're a bachelor? As long as she doesn't mind, we're good.
But it hasn't been bad. So but it's good. It's good. Things are going really well. Looking forward to maybe a better update soon. I either gotta get off these dating apps or just stop dating overall and say, you know, I'm gonna wait till the pandemic's over, but I don't see myself being able to do that.
Well, this week in the life of Yanni, my wife went back to work. And
ooh.
I'll tell you, it's a good thing because she's been ready to go back. how does that affect me? Because, you know, it sounds like I'm making it all about me, which I'm about to. So you are absolutely correct.
Well, she's not on it. She can complain on her podcast.
And she can complain while she listens. Exactly. You know, I remember when people were asking me over the last couple of weeks, like, getting any sleep? I'm like, yeah, my wife's got a late shift. Well, now that she's got to go back to work and she goes to work early in the morning, guess who now has the late shift? So, yeah, ask me that question at the end of the week, because, you know, I'm only one day in to the fact that, all right, I've got one day of having the late shift. About four days into that late shift, that shit starts to take effect.
Yeah. So how many times do you think she's going to check in on you before noon on her first day at work?
Well, see, I'm at work, too. So therefore, you know, the babysitter's handling that during the day. I'm just having the late shift of getting up, you know, changing the diaper, feeding, the late night feedings, the overnight feedings, those. That's the late shift.
Oh, see, gotcha.
Every other parent knew exactly what I was talking about when I said that.
Yeah, I don't.
See, Terrell, when you become a parent.
I know. I don't know what love is. I'm just a mere mortal because I've never had children. I get it.
You know, if you have children, you always just pray that they never turn into what we've seen over the last week. I know you've been amazed by some of the words that have come out of our president's mouth, but I'm trying to understand why.
Yeah. You know, that's a very valid point. Why am I amazed? But I get amazed at just some of the crazy stuff. Mm. You know, that's the stuff that shocks me. Like, if Biden wins, we're going to be a ninth world country, a ninth world. Not a third world country, a ninth world country. Yeah. If Biden wins, I'm like, that's just such a weird thing to say. Biden is going to, if he wins, he's going to build a lot of new buildings with tiny windows. Literally. New buildings with tiny windows. I'm just like, okay.
Where's that coming from? Yeah.
And then on Rush Limbaugh, he was talking about Iran. And he said, which is funny, I don't recall a president ever just boldly doing this. He says, if you fuck around with us, we're going to do things to you that have never been done before. And literally drop the F-bomb in that interview. And I'm just like, wow. Like, I would love to have seen Obama be like, you punk motherfuckers. Just get a Samuel L. Jackson on. I would have loved to have seen it. See what that would like.
Because here's the thing. He wore a tan suit and they wanted to impeach him for that. Like, he was the first president to ever wear a tan suit. So all these hypocrites that I'm not racist. I would love to hear your explanation. I know you like orange, but, you know.
Still, it's crazy. I'm hoping that just some of the really way out things are due to the medication that he got and the treatment that he got for the coronavirus. And like I said on last week's episode, I'm happy to hear that he's doing well. Mm-hmm. And you know, the treatment's working. That's mm-hmm. awesome. I don't wish sickness or death upon anybody. I am curious, though, that you still don't really hear about Melania. It's like no one knows how she's doing. But I guess that's not as important, maybe, in this world that we're in right now.
Help the re-election.
Yeah. And so I'm glad to see they're doing well. So I'm just hoping maybe this is just a side effect of the drug. And then I wonder, like, if I catch it and I had to take this drug, I wonder what would come out of my mouth, because you already know I don't have much of a filter as it is. So I'm curious, like, what would I say? And would people just be like, oh, that's just Terrell being Terrell? Or would they be like, hey, something's wrong?
No, I think they probably said the same thing. Because, I mean, just judging by, there's nothing new that comes out of this guy's mouth that surprises me. Nothing. Mm. It doesn't matter. He's said so many crazy things. He's contradicted himself all the time. It's countless. I mean, it really is. Think of something that he takes a stance on today. He took the opposite stance at some point before. He's always changing. So he's a flip-flopper. I'm not surprised by anything he says. Well, the fact that he dropped the F-bomb, I'm not shocked. No, not at all.
True of any politician. I mean, all of them flip-flop. You catch one. When I remember the Daily Show, that's what I love when Jon Stewart was on there. Like, he would catch somebody said something this time that he'd find when they said the total opposite before. They're all like that. I wish, hopefully, future debates are that way, where you have the moderator going, you know, what's your stance on this? And they say this, be like, oh, really? Click and play a video from like 2 or 3 years before. Well, you said this a couple years ago. What's changed? you know, and then make them have to explain it. Like, that would be the best kind of debate setup I could ever see.
It would be, but they, you know, both sides have to agree to the debate layout. And just like, take for instance, the second debate, it's the presidential debate. It's not happening because, no, if we go virtually, then they'll be able to cut me off whenever they want. Yeah. And then, you know, you look at the VP debate and you're like, okay, so at least it's a little more, how shall we put this, professional than the first presidential debate. But man.
That's the only downside though, right? I mean, if you focus on that, the only negative to a virtual debate is the moderator can mute somebody. But other than that, you still get a chance to get your points across. Mm-hmm. You still get a chance to be heard. It's safer because we know somebody has a cough and you don't need to spread that around to anybody else. So the only downside is you're going to shut my mic off. And if that's the plan, is I'm just going to bombard and keep talking and just, you know, go louder than someone else just so nobody hears them. Thus, that makes me look more powerful. Okay, you could do that, but it's not going to help, in my opinion. But yeah, of course, we talked before, maybe there are some swing voters out there who, you know, 3 weeks or so before election just aren't sure yet.
I didn't know 5-year-olds could vote, but sure. Whatever. So VP debate, what'd you think of it though?
You know, I thought it was good. I thought it was more of a traditional debate compared to what we saw from Biden and Trump. So I thought it was a lot better. I think, to me, Pence was Pence. I mean, he's exactly who I know him to be. I think Kamala did a great job. And I like the strength that she showed. And I'm sorry, Kamala. She did a great job.
Kamala was a wrestler.
I know. My fault.
I was just going to wait till you stopped and catch you there.
I apologize. But I think that I thought it was really good. I thought she came out really strong and really held her own in there. And then, of course, you know, the fly.
I saw that thing land and I was like, okay, am I the only one that sees this? So I went to Twitter. Apparently I wasn't. You know, Twitter is the best place to go whenever you're watching anything live, like whether it's sports, award shows, the only thing that makes award shows bearable. And of course, debates. I was like, no, it's really there. It's still there. Wait a minute. It's still there.
It was just holding on for dear life. Just like, I'm gonna hang out right here. Mm.
And people on Twitter are like, that fly is going to have to get tested for COVID. And you understand why, because of, you know, what was the super spreader event that they talked about when they announced Amy Barrett. But the interesting thing about this is that about the debate was the fact that both candidates, both VP candidates, chose not to answer specific questions. They were asked questions and they danced this way. They danced that way. Mike Pence would go, you know, I'll get to that, but let me go back to this.
Right.
One thing I will say about Pence that I did admire was his ability to ignore. I need to have that level of ignoring, of being able to ignore somebody. Because when she's like, Mr. Vice President, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your time is up. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. He just kept going with his point. He was not deterred. Like, Biden would get distracted and turn to talk to Trump instead of staying the course. Pence was like, nah, I am a rock.
Right.
I know where I'm going. Nothing can stop me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I love how Kamala was like, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. You know, it's kind of like, here's the adult in the room. Mr. President, I'm speaking, you know, and I love the fact that she stayed strong.
Yeah.
And she did it with, it's funny. You can have two different looks. Her eyes said one thing. Her smile says something totally different. And I was like, very well done. Good job. Go ahead. Both sides did good stuff.
She kept her cool. She really did a good job keeping her cool. But as I do a lot when we get close to the election. I'm looking at both sides, and I already know what CNN is going to say. So I go to see what Fox News is going to say. And Frank Luntz, who is this pollster, so he had some undecided voters, quote unquote, and they said that they found that she was abrasive and condescending because of the looks she gave. And that's while they hate when candidates go over time and are long on time, like Pence was consistently, her facial expressions were what affected them the most and what they really disliked. And I'm like, this reminds me of 08 when you had people saying, well, Barack is just he's so arrogant. I'm like, no more arrogant than any politician. Have you met Paul Ryan? Have you seen him on TV? He's as arrogant as they come. Have you met any Ted Cruz, who has no absolute reason to be arrogant, is arrogant. So no more arrogant than any other politician that you've ever seen. But, oh, he's so arrogant. Really? Or is it just something else?
Yeah, I think it's something else. And it's the fact that who has a penis and who doesn't. It seems like if you have a penis, it's okay for you to get angry and get loud and do all those type of things in a debate. Nobody cares. But as soon as a female candidate does it, all of a sudden there's this judgmental mindset about, you know, who they are as a person. And I'm like, that's just ridiculous. But that's the world that we live in a lot of times. If she got up there and did half the things and talked half the way that Trump did, you know, people would look negative on her. Trump tweets that calls her a monster, a monster, right? Just because of how she's talking to Pence, but she's talking to Pence the way a debater does in any political platform, you know, but you could call her a monster. You know, he didn't call, what's his name in South Carolina that was debating against your buddy?
Lindsey Graham, Lindsey Graham. Jamie Harrison, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He didn't call him a monster. Mm-hmm. And he tore Lindsey Graham a new one. So
he probably called him a couple other things, though.
Exactly. But still, it's when there's a female candidate, there's this mindset that they say this stuff to try to get other people to think negative about a woman in leadership. It's my opinion.
I hear you. And you're probably right, because I think it has to do with that. But I think it has a little to do with also the fact that here it is, this angry black woman. It's the reason why you can't express your feelings, because we've seen it even with Tiger on the golf course. And Tiger's one of the greatest, if not the greatest golfer, right? Who at times kind of forgot, you know, that people do see him and still see his skin color. But he's on the course and he curses. He's upset. Oh, my God, he's so unprofessional. But yet Rory McIlroy, who I love Rory McIlroy, but he gets upset. He breaks one of his clubs in the middle of a round. Oh, you can see how passionate he is. It's the T.O. versus Tom Brady crap. Oh, T.O., he's such a team breaker. Look at Tom Brady. He's so passionate on the sidelines. I'm sorry, but at some point you've got to address the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room is some of y'all just a little racist.
Now, you know, I always kind of go back and forth on that. Yep. I don't think it's always race. I just think there are certain men and there are certain women who feel that women should be in a certain place and not be equal. Even when we had the 2016 election, there were women who were like, hey, I don't feel the presidency should be held by a woman. And these are women who are saying that. These are women who are business owners who made those comments. And so there's certain people who think women should still be like it's 1950s. They should be a particular way around men. And it's okay for men to have this type of behavior. And I'm saying I think it's BS that we do that. Anytime there's a woman in power, anytime there's a woman in charge, people judge that woman based on how she talks to them, if she's abrasive and all that. They don't focus on the fact that maybe she just gets shit done. And that's what you want sometimes, where you have a man that gets shit done. They're quick to say, hey, give that to Johnny. Johnny will knock that out. He'll own it. And it's okay. So it's awarded.
Those women probably shouldn't be owning businesses and probably shouldn't be allowed to vote if you still think that way. And I know I shouldn't say that, but at the same time, if that's the matter in which you're thinking that we need to go back to the 40s, the 30s, the 20s, no. it's 2020. We are in the 20s, but it's 2020, not 1920. Let's get to the time. And this is why this time is where it is. And we're in a very progressive time. And the future looks great, except that this movement seems to have taken us back another 60 years to you know, a time that I thought we were over with, but we're not. So,
yeah. It's a mess. I'm with you. And what were you? You had mentioned something about, what's her name? Megyn Kelly?
Yeah. So, because right along the same lines, because Megyn Kelly tweeted during the debate, take it like a woman, don't make faces. And I'm like, I can see how you may think you're being empowering in that statement. But no, because Megyn Kelly, have you ever watched her give an interview? She's not straight faced the entire time. She makes faces too. We are human beings. You're going to have facial expressions. And acting like Mike Pence didn't have some crazy facial expressions, there were things that she was saying, and he was like, That's the sound his face was making, or the fly trying to hold on for dear life.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to take with a grain of salt anybody that's willing to argue that Santa Claus is white. Megyn Kelly lost me on that.
Santa Claus was white. Let's be honest.
That was a whole funny debacle that she went through. But yeah, right, even like I said, even for women to try to think that other women should be a particular way if you're going to be in leadership position, I think you should be who you are. Mm-hmm. There are some women who could be very aggressive and be very loud, get stuff done, and they're still amazing women. Yep. There are also women that might be more on the quiet side, but they still get stuff done and they're leaders. And they're great too. There's not one way to do it. I've not heard of one way for a male to be a leader. There's all these versions, but there's all of a sudden this box that for women to get into leadership, this is how they should be. And this is what should be acceptable. And the sad thing is that there are women that hold other women down or shut other women down, which just boggles my mind.
Yeah.
That's out there, but it's just the world that we live in that people have that viewpoint. And I'm just like, So to me, again, it's all of a sudden it's about who has a penis and who doesn't.
And then this guy obviously has a penis, Bill Burr, Saturday Night Live, his monologue. Oh, my God. He rubbed so many people the wrong way. It was amazing. Like people were tweeting, I got 1 minute into his monologue and I had to change the TV.
Yeah. I was like, calm down, Karen. It's not that bad. And see, I watched it. I watched Saturday Night Live, and then the next day I started seeing all the news and everything. I'm like, what did he really say again? I really rewatched his monologue, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I know what the problem is. These people don't know who Bill Burr is. Because if you know Bill Burr and you know his comedy, he's doing and saying the exact same things that he's been doing. He's not any different.
Right.
And it was hilarious stuff to me. And
it's a good point,
the people that got upset, they were doing exactly what he was talking about.
Because he was talking about them.
Yeah.
Who does he think he's talking to? You.
You.
Gucci feet.
You're the one that's all upset. But he was spot on about how a lot of these women are just making it about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved his
Karen
comment.
Is a racial slur. I know Black Karens.
I loved his point about Gay Pride Week being in June.
Yeah, Gay Pride Month.
Gay Pride Month in June, and then like Black History Month is like in February, where it's all cold, damp. You know, you don't have a lot of cool days.
Can't go outside.
We should move that to July. So at least you got two nice months. If you're Black and gay, you got two whole months to be able to enjoy. And I'm like, you know, that kind of makes sense, because I remember the MLK march and going to those in San Antonio, which was great. And then when I moved to Kansas City, I was like, hey, do y'all do a march this year? They're like, look outside. And I'm like, good point. Guess we're not marching.
Well taken. You know, I love the part where he was like, you know, the equator people, because I always say that I'm an equator baby. I tell people that I was born by the equator. I grew up by the equator. Cold weather and me do not get along. Right. So, but he said that it touched me. Now, for those of you that are born in Connecticut and places like that, it probably didn't. But for me, it touched me.
Right. But I mean, again, it goes back to these people don't know his style of comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, I equate that to I walk into a restaurant, some little mom and pop shop, and they have spaghetti. I eat their spaghetti. I'm like, this is crap. I'm offended. You guys shouldn't be open. Y'all should be closed. Cancel culture, because I don't like your spaghetti. That's just ridiculous. If you don't like Bill Burr, turn him off. But you've not been listening enough to Bill Burr. If you did, you'd understand his style of jokes and how he comes across. The dude is far from racist, married to a black woman. Mm-hmm. I don't even say, well, just because he's married to a black woman, he's not racist, because Donald Sterling slept with quite a few black women, but he didn't marry them though.
And you know what it is? These people just can't see. It's not just familiar with his comedy, but they can't see the forest for the trees. They can't see the laugh for the joke. And right. That's the problem. And it's this kind of cancel culture when it comes down to comedy. Yeah. Comedy has always walked that fine line. Cause they tried to cancel him so many times before when he made the joke about when he was dating his wife and talked mm-hmm. about going to Harlem to meet
Harlem.
Her. Yeah. And you know, as the street numbers got higher, he got lower in his seat. The seat started leaning back and his arm went higher up on the steering wheel. I'm like, yeah, I get where he's going, but and not everybody can take those jokes in that sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not coming from a mean place in that sense.
Right. No, it's totally not. But again, it's just not your style of humor, which I get, but you know, to lose your shit all over the monologue, let's just move on. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's a joke. Everybody can take a joke. But you know who can't take a joke?
Who?
The Archdiocese of New Orleans.
Oh man, this is hilarious.
Oh, this bullshit here is hilarious. As soon as I saw this, I'm like, oh God, I can't believe this can't be. I thought it was clickbait. It mm-hmm. was fake. But in New Orleans, there's this priest was having a dominatrix session, him, an actual porn star, and another young lady mm-hmm. on the altar in this church. And I'm just like, wow, you are bold. I remember when I was a kid, I like snuck a kiss from a girl at church and I felt like, okay, I'm going to hell. I thought this was wrong. Like back when I went to church, I'm like, oh, you shouldn't do that. You don't kiss in the church. But they're having a full-on dominatrix show. In mm-hmm. fact, the professional porn star flew in for this. So this wasn't mm-hmm. like a random, we're having a couple beers. Like, hey, you know what would be crazy?
Oh, he planned this.
Let's go to the church. Oh, this was planned.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in the church, you know, having an entanglement. Mm-hmm. And somebody happens to walk by and sees the light of the church on. And like, wow, that's weird. Church is normally open this time of night. So they went to the window, which I've driven by many of churches and I've never just said, you know, what's going on in there? So they look through the window. They can see the whole deal. They mm-hmm. they record it, call the police. Police come. They all get arrested. But they get arrested for a lewd act in public. They didn't get arrested for the act. And so the Archdiocese had to pretty much come down and do some kind of blessing over the altar to make it holy again, which I don't know what you do with that. I mean, we're in a pandemic. We're in COVID. I don't know what you do. What's in that holy water that you're sprinkling?
Well, he did a little more than holy water, because the follow-up to that was the fact that he removed the altar and burned it.
Yeah. So,
so he didn't just exercise. I've exercised the demons and the altar too. We've burnt them and sent it back to hell. But I want to go back to the person who was walking by, this nosy neighbor, right? Who was walking by. Saw the light on, and this probably just triggers me a little more, because I think we have some nosy neighbors around here who see you coming from the mailbox and are like, do you live here? No, I broke in and got somebody's key. I need to check their mail.
Yeah.
I'm checking yours next, woman. Checking yours next, Karen. So anyway, this nosy neighbor who's walking by, sees the light on in the church, looks in and doesn't go, oh my God, I should tell somebody about this, but instead pulls out their phone and says, let me record. So I can put it up on Pornhub and make some money. and then call the cops. First of all, how can you arrest them? They're inside the church minding their own business. I'm sure the mm-hmm. doors were locked. They didn't go in and go, oh, my God, the doors are wide open.
Well, so, I bet he has a key.
Yeah, so the church was locked. They're inside. They're in private, right?
No, because a church is a public place. It's a public building anybody can go into.
Not when it's closed.
It's a public, even if it's closed. We can go to the library right now. Mm-hmm. The door's locked because it's closed, but the library is a public place. Mm. You get caught having sex in the library, you're in trouble. Now, your house is a private place.
Right.
Your hotel is a private place. But church is public.
So let me see here. If the library is a public place, and I go and use the bathroom in the library, can I get arrested for indecent exposure because I'm peeing in a public place?
the bathroom is private place.
So I've got a public place.
This is all third grade stuff. The bathroom is private. When you come out the bathroom, all of that space is public. So maybe if they'd have went into the stall of the church, they wouldn't have got caught.
Right.
I'm just saying that's just poor planning on their part. But bathroom, private. When you come out the bathroom, you are now in public.
Should have drawn the curtains.
Yeah, you should have drew the curtains. Should have
stained that window. Like that.
Yeah, that's just bold. I mean, what a way to totally ruin your job, you know, because the porn star, she didn't do anything wrong.
She did her job.
Yeah, she's doing her job. I mean, that's totally it. But I'm like, come on, at work? You know, I mean, we all have our fetishes.
There's somebody listening to this right now that's going, yeah, I know somebody who's doing this stuff at work.
I mean, I will not confirm nor deny. All I'm saying is don't get caught.
We've all done some wild shit at work.
Yeah, you do it in private. At work in the public space.
Oh my God. You know, check this out. This other bullshit I saw this week that I know you can relate to because you go hiking quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone hiking in Utah.
Yeah.
And this guy went hiking in Utah and ran upon a cougar.
Mm. Like an older woman?
Should be so lucky.
I'm like, what's the problem with that?
Like, so what? Did he hit it? did they get in a public place? Yeah. So in the private bushes.
Yeah. Did she hand him a Werther's and be like, hey, come over here for a second?
Now, this one was an actual cougar, you know, mountain lion / cougar that was stalking him for like 6 minutes. And he ended up getting away. But I'm like, was he by himself when he's walking, when he was hiking? And is this something you see when you're out hiking?
No, I've never seen at most a squirrel, you know, turtles. That's about it. Don't get me wrong. I like to go hike, but I'm definitely not the outdoorsy type. Mm-hmm. So if I go hiking, it's like a public basic trail. And I think in Utah, you have a lot of those mountain regions, things like that, where you can really see some serious wildlife, especially if you go off the path of the trail. And so I don't know, maybe he went off the path of the trail and just really wanted to go full nature and then was getting stalked. But oh no. Mm-mm. I mean, if I even thought there was a mountain lion or anything in that area, I'm out.
Look, after reading that, I know one thing and one thing only. If and when I go hiking, it's with a group of people. And in that group, it's going to be like when I ran track. I look around. I'm not the slowest person here. It's okay. I can do this. Because if something happens, I need to know that somebody else is going to get eaten first. And I can get away. Like, you're never going to hear of me going hiking with a bunch of NFL players. NBA players. You know, they're all in shape. You know, baseball players. You'll never hear that. Track stars. No. Now, bowlers, maybe?
I mean, yeah, get you a group of bowlers. Get you a group of bowlers together. I mean, no offense to all bowlers, but come on. You know, there's a difference. There's a reason you bowl. But get you a bunch of bowlers. Maybe that could be the thing. Or no, I got it.
Uh-oh.
The people that professionally play like Fortnite and all those different video games and all that, get them. Because they're couch potatoes. Yeah. And then you got to work your positioning. So my thought is, I would hang in the back with my little gamer. And that way, the people up front, if anything happens, it's going to hit them first. I can see it. I can react.
Yeah.
If something starts to come behind, then, you know, my little gamer buddy, I could be like, hey, you know, press A, B, B, up and down. Oh, it didn't work. I got to go.
Sorry, bud. Yeah.
You should have got more lives. You should have did that thing where you get more
lives. Where's the cheat code?
Yeah. You need a cheat code. I'll pray for you.
You mean this isn't Jumanji?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I go hiking all the time. And my mom even said that, make sure there's somebody in front of you and behind you. I'm like, well, I'm not going to go hiking with somebody I think that's going to push me down or push me off something. But I don't like going to those places that have, you know, cougars and mountain lions just in the wild. Like, I've seen videos of people out there taking pictures, and you see that.
Yeah. So
I'm like, yeah, it's a hard pass. I don't need to get that close. Mm-mm. You know, Natural Geographic, I'm fine. I'll watch it on TV.
I cringe when I watch it on TV, so I definitely don't want to see it in person.
Yeah. So luckily he made it, because he was going to be some prey.
Yeah, real quick.
And if he's by himself, like, you get attacked, you're by yourself, then what?
Yeah. And see, that's my thought of having somebody slower around, because somebody's got to tell the story. Otherwise, they'll never find the body.
Somebody's going to say what they
have to. Save me. Nope. Yeah. But I'll tell the story. I'll tell them how brave you were.
Somebody could, what happened? Yanni, he didn't make it. He told me to say he loves you.
Oh, Jesus. We'll toast to that.
Yeah. So the past few podcasts, I kept saying I hadn't get a chance to go to the store. So I finally went and got me a little Buffalo Trace.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a nice little go-to, good old Kentucky straight bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went with one that you taught me about. It's a good old trusty that I like, called a Bullet.
Bullet
bourbon.
Bullet bourbon.
They know how to spell bullet.
Can't go wrong with the Bullet. I like that Bullet.
Yeah.
I like the Bullet Rye, too. If I'm doing an old-fashioned, I do the Bullet Rye.
Sure.
Because it's not as sweet as the Bullet Bourbon.
Yeah, it's gasoline. That's what it is. It's diesel.
So I think what we have to do, we normally toast to ourselves, but I think I want to dedicate this toast to my boys, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh.
Hold your cup up. Hold your cup up. Be proud. It's been 10 years. Los Angeles Lakers, you know, winning the championship in the spirit of Kobe Bryant. But I will also say LeBron is not the GOAT, because in game five, GOATs don't pass the ball when you have a chance to win the game. He should have took the shot. So Kobe would never pass the ball. Jordan would never pass the ball in that moment. You give it to old sorry Wait Danny Green. And I know I don't like Danny Green. I did not call him or say all the negative stuff, all the threats he got. I didn't do any of that. Mm-hmm. But freaking Spurs.
But wait a minute. Now, Jordan has been known to pass to John Paxson and also pass to Steve Kerr.
Very true. Can you show me when Jordan passed the ball with the chance to win the championship?
Nope, sure can't.
Nope. There you go. Goats and don't do that.
While you toast to the Lakers, I'm going to toast to that meme that came out after Friday night's game that said, take my shit off. You know the one I'm talking about. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's a Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.
All right. Cheers, brother.